It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar. Because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P.
R-H-A-P.
Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
Big Brother Canada 4 has come to a close, which means it's time for another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. What's going on, everybody? My name is Jordan Parhar, and I'm here with you live once again today to talk some BB Can 4 live after the latest eviction in week 3 of this season of Big Brother Canada on robbiswebsite.com. And here with me today, I am joined by the live feed correspondents from robbiswebsite.com. We'll go around the horn. On the top right of my screen, might be different on your screen. He's wearing, what's that say on your shirt, Taryn?
La Dispute. It's an awesome, awesome band that everyone will not like if they check it out.
Okay, so he's wearing a band shirt today because he's very cool. It's Taryn Armstrong, ladies and gentlemen. Taryn, how are you today?
I'm good. You know, the problem though with you again, I mean, I always have these problems in the beginning of these podcasts, Jordan. You just love yourself. You wake up every morning, go, Jordan, I love you. And you just, all over. It's gross.
Taryn, is it too late to say sorry? Or no?
It is too late because I don't accept that pronunciation.
Okay. So, little Justin Bieber reference for you guys. I don't know if there's any fellow Beliebers in the audience this evening. All right. Below Taryn, on the right, bottom right hand of the screen, he was live with me last night talking with Bruno Aiello from Big Brother Canada 3. And he's here once again. He's working overtime. It's Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
Hey, Jordan, I'm doing good. Although, yeah, like you said, I was on last night and I'm not feeling as high energy today. So you'll forgive me if I'm just a little bit of a troll for this one.
All right. Well,
I like it.
Sometimes I'm a troll.
I hope that we get to see that side of you at Live Survivor Know-It-Alls next month in April, Alex. I think that'll be entertaining. And last but not least, it's been a while since we had him on the Happy Hour because of the scheduling issues, but we everybody loves him. It's the great Brent Wolgamott, ladies and gentlemen. Brent, how are you?
Thank you. I'm not sure everybody loves me, but if you guys don't love me, you're going to be getting a lot of me over the next 3 days. I'm literally on with Jordan tonight. I'm on with Rob tomorrow, and then I'm on with Jordan again on Sunday. So you see me three times in 4 days after not being on for like 3 weeks. So this is how the schedule works in podcasting land.
Yeah, it's a holiday weekend of Brent.
Yes, exactly. I'm going to be repeating myself. So if you don't, just like, seriously, I don't want to hear it from everybody.
Yeah. And you know what? You're going to be hearing lots of me as well, because I'll be doing this podcast tomorrow. I'm actually going to be on the block with Spencer and Cray. And then Sunday, we're going to be back once again to recap the Sunday episode. So lots of JP, lots of Brent for you guys. So don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but we'll find out as this weekend progresses. And just so you guys know, we are live on Blab. So a little bit of a different show for you guys today once again. So if you want to leave a question for us, type in /Q in the chat room, and then we'll get into those later on in the show. And I promise we will actually get into a lot more questions today, because I know I've been slacking a little bit with taking the listener questions the last few episodes. So definitely get those questions in /Q and then type what you'd like to say. We also just have the chat room going, so if you want to chat with people and all that kind of stuff, we're also monitoring that as well. Okay, guys, so eviction, here we go. This bonus for Happy Hour. I was on spring break, so I figured, you know, I got some free time, why not get into it? And once again, 3 weeks in a row, we have seen the HOH's target not go home. And I tweeted about this and I got a little bit of a response on Twitter, but I honestly cannot remember the last time this has happened. Has this ever happened before, Taryn?
God.
Yeah, come on, Taryn, tell us.
probably not 3 times in a row, but
at least to start a season, right?
Yeah, I mean, I have to imagine that's probably true, and I think the cause is this middle group that is really just trying to be like, oh, somebody's saying BB15 maybe, but MVP was involved, so
yeah, MVP, I guess. A little bit. So yeah, and McCray actually tweeted me about that. So I guess that, but maybe we put a little bit of an asterisk next to 15.
Yeah, but I think it's this middle group that's actually deciding what's going on, and they're trying to stop the battle that happens in the beginning of every season, where there's always kind of like two groups that may fight it out back and forth. And they're saying, well, let's just keep taking out the person that they don't want so that they have to keep firing shots at each other until there's none left and it's just us.
Is this strategy of, you know, making these HOHs mad each week, is this eventually going to backfire on this middle group alliance, Alex?
It's hard to say. I mean, you could definitely see a scenario where it does. At the same time, it's not like they're working with, you know, very particularly savvy people. It's the people who really seem to know the game and understand what they're doing are the ones that have kind of positioned themselves in the middle. So they're in good in that respect, in that they're always seemingly one step ahead of the people who are on kind of the polarities, like the Jareds and the Dallases and the Kelseys and the Maddies. You know what I mean? So from that perspective, like, as long as they can stay a step ahead, it doesn't really matter. You know what I mean? They can just kind of maintain or find new routes to kind of keep themselves in the middle, regardless of kind of how the house continues to shake out.
Brent, what do you think? You think that we're going into this week four? This can't happen again, right?
Oh, sure, it can happen again. Although it depends on who, you know, certainly wins HOH. I find it fascinating. I cannot remember, and you know, I have a terrible memory, but I can't remember a time where there were two clear, you know, A B sides of the house with a middle group that is as concerted on staying the middle group as these people are, and they clearly know what they're doing. I'm not certain that it's going to continue to work. You know, if A and B ever wise up to the fact that they should join together, that they, you know, figure out what's going on, why does this keep happening week after week? I'm not sure they will. On the other hand, it's sort of, you know, it's bad play on the HOH's part. Levita twice in a row has not gotten the person that she wanted to go home. The first time was clearly her fault. I liked her nominations this time. I didn't like it so much when she decided to get some skin in the game and decide to exert her will on what she wanted to have happen. I felt like she, like, if the goal of these nominations was to roll back into the background and lessen the war, then you shouldn't be caring about what happens with them. Just like make the nominations, let the house decide, and roll back into the background. You know, she already has a big enough target on her back as it is.
And just a quick thing I want to chime in on, guys, if people in the chat are talking about this as well, we're going to talk about just the results of the eviction first. We're not going to get into the HOH results until later on in the show. So don't worry about knowing. If you don't want to know who won HOH and that kind of stuff, stick around. We'll get into that in a little bit. I'll give you a bit of a heads up for that. Yeah, Terry, but Brent, that is it's very great point there, right? I mean, if that's the goal, then why get so upset? And we saw Levita get just, well, Dallas first. Dallas was, you know, he was just like trying to spew logic to, you know, one side of the house and talking to the brothers and all this kind of stuff. And he just gets up and leaves. And Levita says, I don't know if I'm just blind or if I'm dumb. And she just leaves. Taryn, was there any more aftermath to that whole conversation that we saw on the show tonight?
I mean, it didn't work, clearly. The brothers were not happy about, like, the treatment that they got. Like, you know, Jared kind of rolls out the red carpet and he's like, dude, we're together, bro. Like, you know, all happy buddy stuff.
No. Taryn. Bro, we're together. Bro, come on, man. Like that, right?
You've done better.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to do the impression with the plugged nose, because like it's like the bro impression, but like he's got a runny nose. I feel like the only way I can do this is if we could
align. I think that would be really good for us. You know, Kelsey and me.
That's pretty good, Brent.
Yeah,
there we go.
I can do this. Yeah,
Brent's got it. Brent's got it. He can do it.
Yeah. How committed are you to in your impression, Jordan? Are you willing to go get yourself sick for the sake of this podcast?
Actually, Alex, I hate a lot of things in this world, but there's nothing I hate more than being sick. So no, I don't know if it made it on the feeds last year, but I wash my hands like incessantly, like it's crazy. So I love you guys in the Happy Hour. I love the pot doing the podcast, but I'm not willing to get sick for you guys, unfortunately.
So you're not looking to play with Austin is what you're telling me?
No, not looking up there.
By the way, I will say quickly, it was infuriating listening to that conversation with Dallas and LaVita and those people in that room, because Dallas is infuriating in and of himself. He is an AB player. It's twice I've said an AB in a podcast, but I don't mean it like that. He is a binary player. He can only see things one way or the other, meaning that it's us against them, and if we don't get together, then those five are going to pick off us four, and we're going to be done. Why can't you guys see that? Dude, you're not playing Survivor. Okay, the majority does not rule. This is Big Brother. Anything can happen. There's a lot of reasons for doing many different moves. When LaVita talked about, am I blind or am I dumb or whatever she said, I'm like, well, Dallas is certainly the blind leading the blind at this point, because he has no idea what he's talking about. He's literally the worst player in the game. Really, he is.
Alex, does Dallas just not know? Does he not read? So he just thinks that there are just two direct sides in the house. And is he just completely blind to the fact that there's such a thing as a floater in Big Brother?
Well, I think Brent made a really good point. I think Dallas kind of comes from a more of a sports background. So he's used to like these games where it's always like, you know, one team and an opponent, you know what I mean? And you see that a lot in these kinds of reality shows where that's kind of like what people's natural mindset is coming into any kind of a competition setting. Is, you know, you just want to look for people you feel like you can go with and then go, you know what I mean? Like, it's easy. And you see it all the time with, you know, like the Brad Culpeppers of the world, you know what I mean? Like, that's just, there's a personality that's always going to look to do that on these type of shows. But that being said, I do think there's a degree of awareness to Dallas that maybe doesn't come through on the show, because I definitely felt like, you know, certainly from watching feeds, and we could talk about this now because it's already happened, but he was probably the only person on that side that I felt like knew that Christine was going to go and was really like telling them, like, I think Christine's going to go. And Ramsey was like, I would be livid if that happened. You know what I mean? Or Maddie, like, they weren't like resigned to it the way Dallas was. So at least he, like, while he couldn't really do anything about it because he doesn't have the skill, he at least is like seeing the writing on the wall on a level where maybe his immediate allies aren't. So he's got that going for him.
Oh, it's something. Taryn, one other thing before we wrap it up on that HOH room conversation that we saw, it seemed there, at least from what we saw on the show, that the brothers were split on deciding to vote between Cassandra and Christine. Was that just editing with the show? Was Nick sort of just like pretending to be in with LaVita and Dallas, and he was just playing like, oh yeah, no, I do want to get rid of Cassandra? Or actually, was that correct? Were the brothers split prior to that moment?
Well, it was partly just that Phil hadn't informed Nick yet that they were voting to keep Cassandra. Nick was more inclined to vote out Cassandra, but Phil makes the decisions, so it wasn't really much of a conversation.
Oh, Phil. All those PAX bros. Gotta love the PAX bros. Brent, anything else from the feeds that we didn't really see on the episode tonight that kind of factored into the vote?
No, I'm just over Nikki and her complaining. The feed's going off because she's got issues. I will be honest with you guys. You know, this actually worked out really great for me. I've been traveling a lot this week, and so I haven't been watching as much feeds as I would like to. But... it's just, it's a great season. There's a few dud characters. I'm glad we got rid of one of the dud characters tonight in Christine, because she was terrible. No way, no how, girl, bye. Like, she was, I couldn't stand listening to her. I'm so glad we have Cassandra in the house to cause drama and to spice things up. Like, Cassandra is like the new Sabrina, but less useless. You know, she is good TV. She's great TV. She really is.
How dare you, Brent, compare Cassandra to Sabrina?
I'll say it. Yeah. See all the people, and they agree with me. See,
useless. Yeah. Useless.
Wait. Alex, are you doing a Marge Simpson impression there, or is that that's Sabrina?
Yes. Yeah,
I'm sorry. We spent 15 minutes. What on Nikki and her outburst, and then Tim somehow didn't console her enough, and now she's boohooing about that. Like, stop it, Big Brother Canada. This was a great week. The audience doesn't even understand why Tim voted the way he did. They literally don't. Instead, we got to see Nikki and her pissing all over the place. Stop it.
Yeah, Taryn, why did, and let's, because a lot of people are wondering that, why did Tim vote the other way? Just to stir things up? Did he actually, like, or was there strategy behind this? What exactly was going on there?
Yeah, I mean, stirring things up is definitely a goal of his. From what I can tell, the main priority behind the vote was he wanted to make it as close as possible so that Dallas and his allies, like Ramsey and Maddie, they wouldn't get discouraged from going after Jared and Kelsey and Raul. So if he makes it, if he makes the vote a 6-5 instead of a 7-4, then Dallas and company, they're going to feel like, oh, we were so close. We're so close to having the votes. We just need to take out one of them from the other side and we might be able to be good, as opposed to 7-4, which means like, oh, now I need to do what Levita did and try to make friends with the other side because I'm hopelessly outnumbered.
Interesting. Okay. What about, you know, we saw also on the show, as Brent was alluding to, the whole Nikki debacle. Alex, do we know if Tim and Nikki are going to be okay moving forward, or is this a serious issue now?
Probably fine, because it's like, you know, who else she have? She's going to go back. I mean, it's just like one of those, like, momentary, you know, she was angry. I mean, we saw the show sort of showed us the source, and it was like a momentary jealousy type of thing, you know what I mean? It was really like kind of a surface level anger, so that goes away, and eventually you even someone like Nikki stops and catches themselves long enough to realize like Tim is one of like the only people who's like really a friend to me in here, you know what I mean? So yeah, I mean, something like that subsides eventually.
Right. Earlier this week, though, she did say that she, I mean, the things that also caused her to go off was the fact that the house keeps eating her stuff. You know, the show hasn't even showed any of this, that she has these prerequisite. She has to have them. It was in her contract. She has to have almond milk. She has to have bananas. Milk.
That's right.
Something else. I can't remember what. So somebody drank all the almond milk, right? And she went ballistic. And I think Kelsey said, write your name on it or something like that, so people don't drink it. Like, that's going to help. Okay. And then she said, if she gets put on slop this week, that she will self-evict, which I'm only praying for because she is useless. I'm sorry. I'm so tired of her. Like, she's provided. I really thought I would like her, and she is just providing nothing. Like, there was all this hype. I feel like all of her outbursts are totally prepackaged. I feel like we know when they're going to happen. I feel like the show knows when they're going to happen. I feel like Arisa knows when they're going to happen. It's just fake.
I will say, like, with the food thing, she does have an eating disorder, and that's why she gets so, you know, fussed up about the food. And she did have a conversation with a very long conversation with Tim where they did make up. It took way longer than it should have, but it did happen. So
right.
Yeah, Taryn, did the other house guests pick up on this rift between them? And because if I was in there and I saw Tim and Nikki were having this just like stupid feud, and really, I mean, we saw like Tim was in the kitchen talking to Ramsey, and he was like saying, yeah, you know, I just can't deal with irrational people, and he just kept going on and on about it, and Nikki just kept going on and on about Tim. If I was in there, I would have felt like, hey, these guys are, you know, they're playing this up. This is not actually a real fight. And they are, you know, this is totally fake. Did anyone think that, or am I just crazy and I just overthink everything?
I didn't see anyone think that they were faking it. I mean, they, like I said, they had a very long conversation in the HOH room, and a few people walked in and out very awkwardly. Tim was, you know, complaining to people like Ramsey, and obviously Nikki was complaining to a bunch of people. And I just don't think people think that Nikki has it in her to be any bit strategic whatsoever. So I don't think it crossed their mind.
Okay. Interesting stuff here. Alex, before we get into the HOH and the questions, one thing I did want to touch upon was we did get a little bit more of Mitch on the edited TV show tonight, which I thought was a good change. It's good to see Mitch on the show because he's doing well on the feeds. He seems to be really in the middle right now, and he's seeing that DR he gave. He said he was trying to, you know, self-control is a really important thing, but he's trying to keep the brothers calm. Has he been successful with doing that?
As successful as anyone can be, you know, like, obviously, you know, Phil is prone to reaction, but he's pretty good at like reining him in if it's going to jeopardize anything that he's got going on. Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously this is a show that's edited in real time. So it's not like Survivor, but like this is what, you know, people would call a winner's type of edit. You know what I mean? Like that's a great quote that he got tonight where he's talking about self-control, talking about the need to not only worry about the behavior of others, worry about the behavior of yourself and how important it is in the house to like just control your own behavior. And how, I mean, that really is like something that's, you know, never really talked about enough. You know what I mean? Because it's so important. And it's just like it's kind of like something that usually goes without saying, but it shouldn't. And Mitch really is someone that gets it. And he's going to, you know, find a way to kind of maintain the control that he's got right now, whether that's with the brothers or kind of with someone else.
Before we get into the HOH comp and some of this, what Arissa alluded to at the end of the show, Brent, we saw as well tonight, Jared go talk to Phil to try and kind of, you know, bridge the gap between the two of them and figure out what exactly is going on there after the whole backdoor debacle. Jared said, I
don't really know where the brothers are at. I just like, I got no idea.
Where are the brothers at? What is Phil and Nick's strategy as of right now?
You know, I think the other two would probably explain it better than I can, because like I said, I'm just getting caught up. But I feel like their strategy from my point of view is to not commit to either side, try to stay in the middle as much as possible and lower the target on them because they already know they're a huge target. I feel like they're doing a good job of that so far. But if Nick continues down this path of flirting, playing around with Maddie, that will destroy that, because then the best thing they have going for themselves right now is that they're only one vote and only one of them can compete at a time. So no matter how threatening they look, it's still only one vote. So if he starts getting with Maddie, then now it's a showmance and it's going to be problematic. I will say that Jared, to his credit, he's one of the better players in the house. He may not be the best player in the house, but he is doing a serviceable job as milkman too, because he is trying to keep the peace and, you know, he's trying to get on Kelsey and Raul, you know, like, you know, you've got to play nice with her. You know, you've got to, you know, at least put on a good face. And then, you know, he does what he needs to do. He does not like the brothers. I think he has a little thing with Phil because he was sort of like flirting with Kelsey and Jared obviously has Kelsey. But he did what he needed to do. He went right to him and said, you know, hey, let's iron this out. I really want to work with you. And they should be working together. They're huge targets. Jared and Kelsey and Raul are a target, especially Jared and Kelsey. The brothers are a huge target. They should not be fighting with each other. They should not be distrusting each other.
Taryn, you've had your finger on the pulse of what's going on in the feeds. Is the Jared and Phil thing still going strong, or, and is Brent accurate with what he's saying there with the brother strategy?
Yeah. I mean, the brothers are basically doing what Mitch is doing and what Tim is Joel is doing, and to some extent what Cassandra's doing. All those people are in the middle. They're all playing very similar games. It's just the different relationships they have with the different people in the house that makes the difference. As far as Phil and Jared go, I think we especially saw it from that DR where Jared is okay with the brothers for now, but he feels very threatened by them, not only because they're probably the more alpha guys left in the house or in the house next to him, but also because Kelsey flirts a lot with Phil, and I guarantee that makes him very jealous. That definitely has a huge amount to do with it. And I don't think he'd deny it either. So yeah, I mean, I think there's an uneasy truce for now, but it would not surprise me if the next time Jared got power, it was like, maybe I'll go for Dallas, maybe I'll go for the brothers.
Okay. Yeah. I had somebody tweet me tonight saying that they didn't really like this season because there were no big moves yet, but the big moves are coming, guys. I mean, there's a lot of big players still in this game.
This week was so good. And if you're not watching the feeds, you won't know it because the show didn't show any of this, but just the dynamic of the house right now with those people in the middle, they all are working together to pit these two sides against each other, but none of them really trust each other very much. And they have these loose, very loose connections, and they're constantly talking bad about each other to the other sides, trying to to be the one person in the middle that's doing the best. And it's so interesting to watch. And I think that there's a lot of different possible ways that it could shake out to make it really interesting. So to anyone saying that it's no good so far, you're just not paying attention.
Right. I think that this is Big Brother at its best right now, because the house is right on the edge. I really do think it's on like a razor's edge of where it could drop at this point. So considering that it's such good feeds right now and the game is so interesting right now, of course it's time for a Big Brother wild card. Jordan, we are so excited about this next week. I can't believe it. We needed one of these.
Yeah, and
of course, right on schedule, right when the game's getting good, here comes a wild card.
Just when I finally get Colin Stone on board to start watching Big Brother Canada again, they're throwing another wild card in here. And dude,
Colin started watching?
He's about to.
As soon as he hears this, he's done.
I can only pray that
we got to keep quiet about it.
Maybe it's an instant eviction. Maybe it's like an instant live eviction. I would be sort of okay with that. But if they do anything really weird, everybody watch for a Taryn Armstrong breakdown or something.
And Colin Stone of the Dom and Colin podcast. If you are not familiar with that, go check those guys out. Alex, what do you think that we've brought it up? Arissa at the end of this episode said next week, Thursday night live, it's going to be another eviction, but it's a special 90-minute episode. It's another wild card coming into the game. What do we think this is?
I don't know. they can do whatever at this point. You know what I mean? Like, you know, one person's guess is as good as another. I mean, right. We just bring in Jace now. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, who knows? It's probably just like a double. But I mean, you know, like reasonable guesses are like a double eviction or like, yeah, like a normal week followed by an instant. Like, I don't know, something like that, you know. But then, I don't know, there's definitely, like, they've left open their possibility to do something else. You know, they've named people coming in from outside already as wild cards. So if they're going with that terminology, it's certainly easy for them to be like, oh, well, Veronica's not going to be a factor. Let's just throw her in there now and do that. I don't know. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, those guys definitely are not in sequester, because I actually received a video from Jace and Veronica, courtesy of Dr. Neha Serene, a couple weeks ago. So they're on the outside. So I feel like they wouldn't get thrown back into the game.
Right.
So it's probably more of a game thing. Some people in the chat are bringing up this idea of a fake double eviction or a fake eviction. That's something that has happened or has been popular, at least in some of the international versions of Big Brother. And I saw something on the Big Brother subreddit earlier on in the season where there was like some like, I don't know if it was fake or not, but there was some sort of like something that alluded to that. So I don't know, maybe what it is.
What's a fake eviction?
Well, I actually do not know, Brent, I think how it works is like people get voted out, and maybe people, you guys in the chat can help us out with this. I think somebody one person would get voted out, but then they wouldn't actually go home and they would have some sort of influence on the next week. And then they come back into the game. Taryn, Alex, do you have any insight onto how those work?
I was going to say, I feel like it could be like BB9, where you remember you had like Ryan and was it Natalie, I believe, or Allison, Ryan and Allison. And they were, they were all on their way out the door, and then like a bell rang or something. And Julie Chen's like, wait just a minute. And they like redid the vote. And then it turned out that they were both leaving as a pair. And then it turned out that only one of them was going to leave, because they ended the pair's twist at that moment. So it could definitely be something like that, where like they go through all the motions. And then at the end of the entire process, as someone's walking up the stairs after the awkwardness of the good, like the lack of goodbye, like, Christine, I don't have time to hug anyone. That was fantastic.
That was great.
But yeah, so like after all of that, possibly it could be like just Arissa comes on the screen like, wait, not so fast.
I am seeing in the chat that what other international Big Brothers have done is the person leaves and they go to a secret room, and then they get to like watch footage and stuff, and then they'll come back a few days later, and to everyone's chagrin. I hope that's not what we see. But that's what apparently other ones have done.
I have heard Mitch speculate about a wall he thinks there might be a room behind too. So that would be awesome. I love the secret rooms. I'd love to see more seasons with those.
Yes, we like those. Yes.
We do indeed. Yeah, I would have killed for that last season because I'm sure from what I heard, I never actually went back and watched it, but I think everybody, it happens every single time when someone gets voted out, the person who just went out the door just gets crapped on by every single person in the house. So if to be that person who is in a secret room watching and listening to what everyone is saying, I think that will be pretty awesome and could lead to some pretty entertaining moments. So we don't really know what's happening with that just yet. I don't think I'll be able to be live after the eviction next week, but we don't need to worry about that because there is going to be a sideshow, a special edition of the sideshow live on Global right after the eviction next week. So it's basically 2 hours of Big Brother Canada 4. So I feel like they wouldn't put the sideshow right after the episode unless it was a big deal. So I feel like someone's going to be going home in some capacity. Maybe it's another triple. Could it be that, Taryn?
Yeah, I hope not.
But I feel like the triple's coming back, right, Alex?
I mean, they're not gonna. I feel like they're saying wild card. The last one was like first time in Big Brother history. It's gonna be something else that's new, but also semi stolen from a not well known Big Brother.
And I don't know, did they really get what they wanted out of the triple? Like, they really were leaning on Kevin for a lot of narration on the season. And they had set him up as, like, kind of not the protagonist, but one of the protagonists of their season. And they put him in a position where he couldn't save himself. So, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if the triple worked out the way, like, in a way that makes them want to go back to that well, at least not so fast.
I think they got a little bit out of it because of the whole Sarah screw up on the Willow. Yeah. Like, I think, you know, they got a lot of mileage out of that. And then, of course, the Willow complete breakdown of, whoa.
I didn't even get to play.
Is that right?
And not even that. Also, too, guys, like the big moment of Bruno using the veto on Zach, I think that was a huge moment, right? So I think that they, you know, despite losing Kevin, it was probably, and again, I wasn't here, so I don't know, but it must have been an insane night on social media as well.
You're convincing me I'm wrong. I don't like this.
The veto thing could have happened in a double, and Sarah accidentally voting out Willow is a total fluke. Like, that's never going to happen again. It's like a topaz.
But I don't know, Taryn. With this season, I feel like anything could happen. We just had 3 weeks in a row in which the HOH's target hasn't gone home.
We were on the knife's edge tonight. Taryn, it could if Joel looked like he was vacillating in that vote.
That would have
been
so funny.
He votes the other way. Tim accidentally screws himself. I mean, Tim was playing a very dangerous game. I guess I have to give him credit because you would rather somebody play the game than not play the game. But it was really, really tough to watch. I was like, ugh, and then I was like, okay, we're fine.
Yeah, he likes to roll the dice, that Tim.
I did just realize something that I don't know if we've talked about it, but in the house, there's been a jackpot thing.
Yes.
This big like alarm kind of thing that's been going off at relatively the same time every day or so. So I feel like it has to involve that somehow. We're going to learn what that means. I don't know what it could mean. Maybe something to do with money because it's a jackpot. Maybe there's going to be some sort of money involved. I'm not sure, but I guess we'll just have to see.
Jackpot goes off next Thursday and Jace comes in wearing nothing but a bow tie. Like, jackpot, ladies.
Somebody needs to make a gif of that dance that Alex just did. Although I don't know if it's going to be possible just to get like only his screen, but that was great. I really like that.
Now we're going to you.
One thing as well that I also think that maybe this jackpot could be related to is, and again, speaking of Colin Stone, this idea of Big Brother using something on a previous season that never really came to light. What about the idea of using last season's twist where Bobby and Cindy got thrown into the vault and then they had a decision, they could decide to leave the game just then and there for $10,000. Ultimately, they didn't do it. Do you think that maybe they could try this again, Brent?
Yes, but I feel like they're going to have to offer him a little bit more money. Like, I mean, you know, part of the experience of Big Brother is being in the house. I mean, you know, you have a chance, and plus you have a chance at $100,000. I feel like you at least have to offer them, you know, 15, maybe 20,000 to get them to say, yes, I'll actually leave the game. And that's actually what came into my mind when you said the thing about the jackpot was maybe that it's one of these things where, like in The Mole, I remember where they offered somebody money to leave the game. That it could be something where they do that. I mean, you never know what Big Brother Canada is going to do. We know that.
Yeah. And people are in the chat are saying, oh, second place money. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, but you're opting out.
Yeah, if you're opting out, if you want to actually get someone to leave, that's what it's going to take is second place money. If you're in there for 10 G's and I was in that spot, I was on the block that week. And if I was in that room and I had that, Godfrey and I both have talked about this. If we were both in that position, neither of us would have wanted to leave. Godfrey, I think, said he would because he thought he was going home. But still, I mean, you know, $10,000, it's like Big Brother is such a cool experience. You don't want to just get up and quit, especially next week. It's going to be week 4. So who knows? We'll see what happens with that. Guys, let's get into the results of the HOH competition. So if you do not want to know who won Head of Household this week, we will see you on Sunday. Thank you for joining us tonight for this special edition of the Happy Hour. Sunday night, I'll be back with Brent Wagamont. It's the weekend of Brent and JP. And we also will have Spencer and McRae from On the Block. They'll be joining us as well. So I think that one will be on Blab as well. I got to talk to Scott St. Pierre. Check it. Just follow me on Twitter. I'm at Jordan Parhar. I will tweet out the link and you can find out where you can watch the show there. Okay, guys, let's find out. HOH, who is your winner? Taryn.
It's Joel.
Joel!
Yes, Joel and Mitch.
Joel is the winner.
And they chose Joel to be HOH. I thought for sure Joel and Mitch together, they're obviously going to be throwing this.
Right.
Apparently not. Apparently they both decided to win, and Joel decided to take it. Thank God Mitch didn't. Joel, HOH.
Whoever was in like second place, maybe they must not have wanted to have them win. I can't imagine who that would be, but they must not have felt safe, whatever it was. I was stunned when I saw this result.
Or maybe it's one of those where they tried to throw it and they just thought people were closer than they were and they just didn't. I don't know. I mean, yeah, there really isn't a lot of incentive for them to win right now. They're in the best spot.
This is a completely throwable. Yeah, this is a completely throwable competition. This is not something like Steve where he put the wrong number on whatever the hell. And by the way, he eventually admitted during the second HOH that he did not do that. So I want to say, like 6 months later, I was right. Y'all were wrong. But moving on, yes, I don't know how they didn't throw this one.
Okay, and just to reiterate on that point, this is an incredibly easy one to throw, these dual HOH comps. I mean, I was part of one of these last year with Ashley Wood, and yeah, you just kind of, if it's one of these things where you can fall off or you can drop the thing, I don't get why you wouldn't do that, especially if you're in Mitch and Joel's position. But like you said, Brent, I guess the second place person or somebody who was going to win is somebody that they just really did not want to win this thing. So maybe we'll find that out on Sunday, whoever that was. Alex, who do you think Joel is going to nominate this week?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, if Dallas was really close to winning, Dallas is like probably the only person in the house that has mentioned targeting Joel if he were to win. And that's why I think Joel probably would, you know, if it was down to him and Mitch really didn't want it. And Joel's like, well, you know, Joel at least knows he could put up Dallas because it is kind of common knowledge in the house that Dallas has mentioned Joel's name in that respect. And then Joel, yeah, I mean, he has a few other directions he could go. I feel like Dallas is a strong candidate to be his number one target. But then it'll get interesting in terms of how he wants to approach it, because if he puts up, you know, he could choose a side or, you know, on the surface level, choose a side and put up like Dallas and Maddie or Dallas and Ramsey and like kind of like openly declare himself loyal to kind of the third wheel side, which is probably a decent move because it at least maintains the status quo of there being two sides of the house. What he could also do is kind of like put up one person from each side, which you could see that really working out. But you could also see a scenario where the two sides get wise to kind of what's going on because someone in the middle is kind of, you know, I mean, it's just, you could see the scenario where they have the conversation and where like Maddie finally doesn't hate Kelsey enough to actually talk game with her or something, you know what I mean? And it all comes falling apart.
Brent, what should Joel do this week?
Well, he shouldn't have won HOH. That's what it should be. But I don't know. Like I said, we're trying to rationalize this. Oh, maybe it was the second place person. Maybe it was this. Maybe it was that. Sometimes people just make stupid mistakes, and sometimes HOH is sitting there, and it's very hard to turn that power down. You're safe for the week. You get to eat for the week. He's been on slop for the past 2 weeks, I think. So I can't explain this one. As for what he should do, I'm kind of in favor of nominating one person from each side, maybe. But I don't know. I really don't. Dallas seems like somebody who would absolutely have a meltdown if he was nominated. And I'm trying to think of somebody else on the other side. Maybe Kelsey? I don't know. Yeah.
Right. Because we've seen Dallas lose his mind, and he hasn't, he hasn't sniffed the block yet. So what's going to happen when he actually, his butt hits that chair, Taryn?
I think he will initially freak out, and then he'll be like, no, that's not good gameplay. And he'll try to be, calm, but it won't work because he already freaked out. I think that's Dallas in a nutshell.
Yeah, right. Can I just quickly complain about Dallas? I worked hard for this veto. I'm not going to sit on it. I'm going to use it. I'm here to make big moves. The veto doesn't have the cojones to do this. And then he's up there and he couldn't even memorize the speech. They had to give him the little plastic thing, freaking dumbass. And he has to he's reading the thing. He's like, and his hand is shaking like he's a recovering alcoholic. I mean, seriously, what was that? What was that?
I feel like the editors see him the way you do, Brent, because, I love the way in the recap at the beginning of the episode they showed the ceremony in a way that made it look like it took him 5 minutes to choose, in the moment at the live ceremony, not to use it. Like, he's standing there, and they show him, scratching his neck. Like, this probably all happened within the span of 10 seconds. But they, and then they cut away, and they go back, and he's like, and it's all him standing there at the nomination set. It was pretty great. But it made me think that the editors probably aren't wild about Dallas either.
Yeah, 100%. Because I can tell you for a fact what Dallas was doing in that ceremony. He's looking at the card and he's like, and he's nervous. That has happened. That happened more than once last year when I was in the house, because veto competitions, it's a little longer than how it looks like that. It's a TV show, right? So you just keep that in mind. And that probably was just 5 seconds of Dallas waiting to get on with the ceremony. And it just happened to be him freaking out. And that's why he just looked like a complete idiot when he was doing that. But I would give Dallas a pass on this, because he's not the only house guest that has looked like that in a veto ceremony. It was great TV. But what I won't give him a pass on is the whole, I'm going to use Levita this week. I think it's time to make a big play in this game. Levita, I didn't like those nominations. So here we go. I'm going to use the veto. And then he's like, I'm not going to use the veto. I'm just not going to do that. It's like, okay, well, we're going to rip you. If you're going to make fun of people for not making big moves, Dallas, then, pot meat kettle, right? I mean, come on, man.
He just wanted to hear himself talk. Seriously, that's all.
Yeah, straight up. Okay, let's get into some of your questions, guys. If you have a question for the live feed correspondents and I, you can do so by going in the chat over on the right-hand side of your screen. Type in /Q and then type in your question after that. Okay. Sorry, go ahead, Taryn.
From what I've been able to catch before we get into this, Joel has talked about nominating Tim as a pawn. He wants to backdoor somebody. We're assuming it's Dallas. But you mentioned, Jordan, that every week so far, the person that the HOH has not wanted to go home has gone home. So Tim on the block could be very dangerous. We'll see if he's able to talk his way out of it.
Yeah. Has he said who else?
Not so far, as far as I know.
Why not Nikki as a pawn? No one is evicting her.
Or Tim and Nikki. Why not both of them?
It might be both of them. I think from what I can tell, it seems like he really wants to go for the backdoor option. Basically, the plan being, I assume, put up two people as pawns. And then if the backdoor option doesn't work, then whoops. And if it does work, then it's just surgical, one person gone, and that's it. So that's probably his plan at the moment.
I get his thinking, but I mean, for me, I really like that if you're going after a target who's like if you're Andy and you're going after like your closest person, you know what I mean? Like if you're going after someone who has no idea that you're coming after them, who's a huge threat to win the game, I love the back door. But like, I feel like Dallas has some idea that Joel knows that Dallas was, you know, at least talking about Joel going out. I feel like there's some knowledge there. To the point where, and certainly like a buzz around the house where like if Joel decided to try a backdoor plan with Dallas, and even if he only let a few people in on it, I feel like before the veto ceremony comes up, Dallas would get wind of it. I just feel like, you know, go ahead and put him on the block. You know what I mean? Like more often than not, you're better served just like if you have a target, just make sure you don't do what LaVita did, like secure the votes to get him out now, work now on demonizing him throughout the house as this guy who like was mean to you and was slandering you throughout the house as this, you know, guy who's wishy-washy when really you were just scared and nervous and you didn't know what to do. You know what I mean? Because you're right. Joel. Like that's how you need to play this.
Someone on the chat room is saying that Dallas is already worried on the feeds right now, which already leads me to say that this would be the best week of feeds ever in Big Brother history. Sorry, I really don't like him. I really do.
Oh, poor Dallas. Dude can't catch a break. We'll see what happens. This should be a fun week, though. I agree with you, Brent, on the feeds. I'm disappointed that my spring break was this week and not next week because I kind of want to just watch feeds all weekend if Dallas is the person who is going to be targeted. Okay, let's get into the questions here, guys. So this one is from Patrick E. Farrell. Patrick says, do the house guests think the brothers will eventually split? And has Tim talked to them about Katie and Lucy from his season? Taryn.
Yeah, Tim has talked about Katie and Lucy and how they didn't split. Despite that, though, pretty much everyone is convinced that they're going to split at some point, even probably the brothers. In fact, I think like Jared or somebody has talked at some point, like, yeah, they basically confirmed to me that they are going to split. Like it's pretty commonly thought like this is going to happen. So that's part of what's putting a target on them.
All right. Sean E. asks at Survivor Fan Sean, do the other members of the middle, Joel, Pax Bros, and Mitch, know about Tim's plan? Yeah, Alex, are they going to figure out about this whole hinky vote thing? And if so, is this going to come back to haunt him?
Tim talked about doing it. So, I mean, it's like knowledge that Tim was the only person like gutsy enough to float the idea out there of, you know, doing this just for the sake of doing it. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's, and certainly, yeah, I think, you know, the people he told were like Joel and Mitch, I think. So like, certainly it's not a situation where he's going to be able to, you know, deny to the people who are decision makers this week.
Yeah, I don't think we got that across. Tim told basically everyone except for Dallas and Ramsey and Maddie. Like everyone knew. He even told Jared, I'm pretty sure. So everyone knew he was doing this except for the people he was trying to bamboozle. And I think also part of it was he was trying to play LaVita, where it was like LaVita was counting on him and Mitch and Joel. And he was trying to say like, well, I'm going to vote your way. Now it's on Joel. You know, and he kind of was trying to get Joel in trouble there. I'm not sure if it worked, but that was another aspect of it, I think.
Okay, interesting. All right, this one comes from Jorge Alvarado at Hey Jorge. Hey, how the heck does LaVita make the same mistake twice? Seriously, girl, get your act together. Brent, what do you think about maybe Joel putting up LaVita as a pawn this week? Because she could work as a pawn, right?
I think she could work as a pawn, but I mean, she is, you know, you say what you want about the competitions. I know Taryn always poo-poos the competitions, and I admit rolling a ball down a thingy, whatever. I mean, but there's something about certain people that are very attuned to the carnival-esque games that they play for these crazy competitions. And LaVita, she's feisty and she is determined. And, you know, say what you want about skill, but she's somebody who I think could be perceived by the house to be a threat. So I don't know that she's the best pawn. I feel like Nikki is the best pawn. And anybody who's against Nikki, I feel like would go home unless Nikki just quit, which she has threatened to do many a times.
Although even money bet on that one.
People have warned me many times on Twitter that to not believe when she says that. She's just like talking out of her, you know what.
Well, apparently she tried to escape via fire escape.
Yeah. Right. I heard that. Yeah.
So yeah.
They cut the feed.
Wait, there's a fire escape? Where is the fire escape?
Who knew?
I don't know. Because
I lived in that house and I don't know. The only thing I can think of is over like the hot tub wall, which I know the Ginger Ninja told me that's how he was gonna break into this season. Oh my gosh, guys, that's what the wild card is this season. Next week, Greg's going into the house.
Oh, wow.
I feel like that would be an unannounced wild card. I don't think they would have, you know, precipitated that. I think Greg would have precipitated it himself.
Yeah, most definitely. Okay, here's one from Stefano Capelli, at Stefano_Alchemy. He says, it looked like there were a lot of teams from opposing sides in the HOH competition. Jared and Dallas, Kelsey and Ramsey. I think Mitch and Joel won the comp because they were afraid the sides would make a deal with each other. Thoughts on this? What do you think about that?
That's a really good point. I'm sorry to interrupt you, JP. I never really considered that, but that actually does make a lot of sense to me. I mean, if you're worried that they're going to unite, which is what the whole worry has been this whole week, that, you know, we don't want these two people coming together or working with each other. We like the way things are right now. Let's keep the way things are, the dynamic in the house. Then looking at a pair like Kelsey and Ramsey has got to terrify the you-know-what out of you because, I mean, if they win, they may not hold to the deal, but there's going to be a lot of worry in your eyes for a couple days of whether or not, let's say they win. Ramsey takes HOH, says to Kelsey, I won't nominate you or Jared or Raul. I promise I won't do that. Fine. Well, then who does he have to nominate? He has to nominate the people in the middle, so... Yeah, I can see why they would want to win HOH in that spot. Good point.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's hands down has to be the reason.
Right, because that then, you know, you have these two sides. You have the side in the middle, and these two sides are, you know, fighting over the middle. But then all of a sudden, if they team up, then it's like, oh, okay, well, we're over here. We're going head to head. But now we're going to focus on the middle instead because there's really no one else to target. Taryn, do we know what the rules are with this if the people disagree on who should actually take the HOH? Because last season when Brittany and Sarah won this type of HOH competition, they were working together, so it was fairly simple for them to come to a decision. Do we have any clue about what the rules are for this?
Well, the fact that you're asking me tells me that you don't know, because I assume they would have told you beforehand, but I guess not. So
I feel like they would have forced them to figure it out if like 3 hours goes by and they still haven't figured it out, which I can't imagine would happen. Then I feel like they would say, if you can't figure it out, then you're the nominees and we're just going to go ahead. And you know, like what happened in Big Brother All-Stars when they threatened Jace with in Janelle. If you can't decide on the nominations, then you become the nominees. And then I think the tiebreaker in that instance would become whoever holds the power of veto. So if there was a tie at the eviction, so yeah, that isn't going to happen though. I'm glad this week worked out. Although that could have been fun TV.
That could have been fun TV indeed. Yeah. All right. Miranda Johnson says, will a guy finally go home or will the girls get picked off one by one? Alex, it's gotta be time, right?
Yeah. I think it's probably pretty likely a guy goes home this week.
Yeah, right. I think we're all in consensus with that. A guy, I mean,
it's amazing, right?
Statistically more likely. So,
Well, I don't know. What if Nikki and somebody else is on the block? I don't know. Like, I mean, anything could happen. Like, it's the house was already imbalanced because of the brothers being there. And then to have three girls go out in weeks 1, 2, and 3, it's just like, it's like this podcast. It's like a sausage fest. It's just, like, for real. Like, evict one of the guys finally. Well, why don't you, Big Brother?
Yeah, let's even it out. I think we've had enough of the girls going home. Hopefully we see a guy go home, and then
the girls who are left are feisty. All of Kelsey, Maddie, Levita and Cassandra. Am I missing anybody? I think that's
Nikki.
It. Huh?
Nikki.
Oh yeah, Nikki.
They're all feisty.
Okay.
Every single
4
one.
Out of 5 are feisty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nikki's just a loon.
Okay, here we go. Let's just, how are we doing for questions here? Do I want this? Okay, there's two more we got. Brent, I'll throw this one to you. This one comes from Giant Music, at Giant Music on Twitter. How about a triple instant eviction next Thursday? What do you think?
Right. Let me just say from the outset, I still do not understand why I'm basically in a lone boat here. I have never, ever had a problem with the triple eviction. In an instant eviction, I kind of have more of a problem with, but a triple eviction.
An instant triple?
Again, I will go back to this. They announced ahead of time, whoever wins this will get to decide, you know, three people on the block, you're going to get to evict two of them. So it's up for grabs. It's not like they played any games and said, you know, said it after the fact. You know, we all knew going into that competition, whoever won, it could have been anybody. And Bruno was like one question away. If they had evicted Brittany, Bruno would have won the competition. So anything could have happened in that competition. It was completely fair. I just don't have a problem with it.
Why don't we just play for the right to evict 15 people then? Is my thing.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like it's also fair. Technically, it's fair. You know, whoever wins that deserves.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
There's a couple quick things, which is that they didn't tell them beforehand. They told Brittany after she won.
Well, I'm talking about us. We knew. Yes.
Right. But that doesn't have anything to do with the house guests. And then
I'm just saying it was a fair play. It was fair.
And then someone like Kevin, who doesn't have a chance to compete in this very, very powerful HOH. And then just the fact that
he competed in the veto. He had a chance to save himself. That blew my
less
mind.
Than the other people had.
My mind when you said that earlier, when you said Kevin didn't even have a chance to save himself. Bitch, he did. He competed in the veto. He was running. He lost. All right.
In fairness, I'm biased because I'm very close friends with Kevin, but I mean, it's hard to play defense when you're, you know, outgoing HOH. Yeah. You know, and what you have one veto competition, which is like, bang, it's just like out of the gun. One of those quick ones where you just like run up back and forth a few times. And like, that's it. It's tough. I mean, I see both sides of the argument. As a player, I'm not a fan of the triple eviction. As a fan, I am a fan of the triple eviction. So I'm siding with both of you guys.
Willow didn't even get to play. Justice for Willow.
Yes, justice for Willow, right? Willow deserves another chance.
Yeah,
Willow's
I think it's a shame that Kevin went out there, but Willow was the one that got screwed there. Like, that goes underreported.
It's true. Yeah, it's true. The whole Sarah voting the wrong way debacle.
Oh, my God. Someone in the chat room said, I love the Brent Cass comparison. Like, am I ranting like Cass? Like, for...
Yeah, Brent, you're going to start calling Taryn a dumb bitch at the end of this thing.
Bet. I love the way she says it. It's like B-E-T-C-H.
She says it just like I do, too.
Oh, you bitch.
Like, oh, my God, such a dumb bitch. Oh, God, it was so great. Oh, yes.
Oh, man. Okay, I lied. Two more questions. This one and then one other one. This was one I got from Twitter earlier, which I found interesting, and I think I have lost it in my notes. No, I have not. Okay. This one's from @poisonivy91 on Twitter. He says, Mitch appears to be in a similar position to where Newport was at this time last season. Do you think riding the middle will catch up to him, or will Mitch make it through? Taryn, does Mitch have what it is? Can Mitch ride the middle better than Newport did?
I'm not sure I see the comparison.
Yeah, I don't either.
Newport, you guys were in. First of all, you were a pair and you were working closely together, and that was a huge difference. Like, Mitch is not working as closely with Joel as you were working with Zach, and that I think that makes a huge difference. Zach was in on the whole Chop Shop thing. You were in with some other people, and you were also kind of coming together with this other group. And Mitch is kind of doing that, where he's in with Jared and he's coming together with the middle people a little bit. But for the most part, I see very much a difference. I honestly think Newport was playing better up to this point. I think that Mitch is a lot more visible than you guys were as far as like what he's doing. That said, I do think he'll go further. I think that he doesn't have the weaknesses that that Zach did. That's going to blow him
and
up.
And me. Come on. And me.
And you to an extent, yes. And so I think Mitch... Okay, I will say this. So this week has been crazy, and everybody's game has taken a hit because everybody's been going around. Everybody's been talking about everybody. The middle people are on to each other. Everybody's game has taken a hit. Tim, he lost some of Nikki's trust. He lost some of Levita's trust. He's been outed as kind of sketchy. Mitch has been outed as somebody that's like, he's in with everybody. He's way too close with Jared. We need to target him. Just not yet. We need to target him later. And that's where Mitch is at right now. And that's still a pretty good place to be. But it is dangerous because it means you're on people's radar. Ramsey is actually probably in the best spot coming out of this week, despite the fact that he's in a little bit of danger because he's close to Dallas and that might put him on the block, which is never a good place to be. But Ramsey is in good with a lot of people. He's somebody that people want to work with coming out of this week. So I'd watch Ramsey actually as somebody who is, if he survives these next couple of dangerous weeks, he's somebody that might end up going really far. So watch out for him.
Bruno Schefter's pick to win, Ramsey. So there we go. Bruno is Bruno knows what's up. Okay, last one here. This one comes from Yakuta at GizmoKid2122 on Twitter. He says, how do you guys think hashtag The Godfather would do in this season? Alex?
I think the player who's played, honestly, the most similarly to Godfrey thus far is the player Taryn just mentioned, which is Ramsey. And I think in part that's just because we heard that, you know, when feeds were off, Ramsey was going around offering final two deals to everybody and really kind of like ruined his social capital in the house, in the game from the get-go. And like, you know, it makes you look dumb and like someone to not be taken seriously. And it's pretty much put him off. Like, he's not on anyone's radar. Even the people that are targeting his quote unquote side of the house, you know, would target Maddie or Dallas or anyone. Ramsey's not the name that would come up first for, I don't think, anyone. You know, he thinks Cass is coming after him. I don't know that Cass is coming directly after him. Cass is coming after LaVita. So it's really interesting that Ramsey is now, and I don't think he has, I certainly don't think he has the game savvy or the awareness of Godfrey, but I think that thus far that if Godfrey was in the house, he's kind of be on the Ramsey trajectory, because we did see him at this point in the game. He was kind of on a little bit of a side where he was like chop shop adjacent, I guess you could say, where he was kind of like there with Bruno and Greg, even though they had a big thing that he wasn't. Yeah. They had the black and brew thing that he wasn't necessarily a part of at this point in the game. I think one thing that's really interesting about this season that's different from your season is there was just a lot more alliances, like set named alliances in your season. I think a lot of that is because there was more fans of the show, or, you know, quote unquote strategists, whatever you want to call it. But people really were like cementing things, committing to things, like making handshakes, doing something that kind of solidifies you as a group. Whereas this season, people are a lot more tentative and they're really just kind of like developing social relationships. And the thing, you know, you were talking about Mitch earlier too. I think the thing that gives him an advantage really just over, you know, people in your season in general is just kind of like the level of competition does seem to just be a little bit easier for him to navigate.
It's interesting you say that, because I actually think that it's the fans who are being the most tentative this season. And I think it's partly because they watched last season and they saw what happened with all those named alliances, because it's the people like Mitch and Joel and the brothers who have been the most hesitant. We even see people like Tim, like, let's get this together. Let's form a solid alliance. And Mitch and Joel and them, they keep like squirming out of it. And then we see the people like Kelsey and Raul talking about, you know, third wheel and four aces and all that stuff. So I think this is probably a higher level of gameplay from a majority of the house than last season was. And partly that's because I think the twists kind of interrupted a lot of the gameplay last season. So I won't say it's necessarily because of the cast, but I really think, at least based on last week, going into this week, the gameplay has been on a higher level than we saw probably all of last season.
Wow. Interesting. Brent, what do you think these alliances are actually going to get rolling here? Because they're bound to start at some point, right?
Yeah, I know. I kind of like the way things are right now, only because I feel like, you know, they are the fans who are in the house, who Alex just mentioned, are, you know, like Mitch and Joel and Phil and whatnot. And I feel like they know you cannot win Big Brother during the first month. You can only lose it. And you could just chill in the background, you know, just like go to sleep a little bit, try to, you know, maintain the dynamic that's currently in the house, and, you know, pick up, like, do what Steve did and pick up the pace, you know, once you hit the middle part of the game. And so I don't know that he even behooves them to really form anything solid at this point. I feel like social currency is really underestimated in favor of alliances from a fan's point of view. And like social currency wise, these guys have it in spades right now. They don't really need an alliance. They have a great work relationship with a lot of these people.
Yeah, such an interesting dynamic, because you do have these alliances, but neither of them has anything close to resembling a voting majority. The voting majority lies in this big amoeba mass that sits in between both of them. So it's a very interesting dynamic.
It's almost like they're, dare we say, voting blocks.
Right. That's true. And I think it's because there's no battle of the block, too. I don't mean to compare it to BB17, BB16, but the reason we don't have this mass, the reason there isn't a stampede to one side of the house or the other is because there is no battle of the block. And that's what provides such an interesting season. There's big battle of the block is such a neutering effect on gameplay like this, which is I'm just thrilled that Big Brother Canada has not made the mistake of doing it yet.
Fun fact, I remember going into my season in sequester, actually like a year ago today. I was in sequester St. Patrick's Day, and I was thinking, oh my gosh, what if they do Battle of the Block this season? This is going to be so terrible. I don't want this to happen. And luckily the BB Can producers are on the ball, and they decided not to do that. They did some other things I wasn't a fan of.
Would have been great for you, man.
Yeah,
great. I guess the players know what they're doing.
I was just thinking more so as a fan of watching the show, what would be more entertaining, because I didn't want to be a part of the worst season in the history of the show. And
yeah, you don't want to be like if they ended the show because of you guys, you don't want to be that part
JP,
of that.
I loved Big Brother Canada 3. It was great. It was just it was everything I wanted and then some. I just want to roll around in it.
I can't tell if Brent is being genuine.
No,
or
I mean
Brent
genuine.
Like
I love okay. it.
It's an opposing opinion to the three of us. Of course, he's not kidding.
Exactly, exactly. Like I'm speaking truth to power here. It was a great season. I loved it. I loved everything about it. Because I have a rooting factor. I'm a fangirl, and I'm rooting for Sarah and Brittany to win at the end. And I got my wish. Like literally, when I opened up my Twitter that morning and I saw that Godfrey had made the mistake of evicting Ashley,
those painful memories back.
Oh yes, it was just like, oh, I remember where I was too when I read it. I was like, I wasn't here, I was somewhere else. I was great. I love your season. Love it.
Dreams can come true, ladies and gentlemen. They can indeed. They did for Brent last season, and maybe someday it will for
maybe
for
Mitch
the rest
will win and Aaron will be happy this season. It could happen.
It could. You never know.
That would be great.
Right. That would be good. I think I would enjoy
it. But it wouldn't
that
a lot. Be great if he won because we willed him to win.
Will
but it would be great if he shouted us out.
Right?
Which, that would be cool. That would be cool. He does follow us. He follows us all on Twitter, I believe.
I feel like maybe his family followed us like after he was already in sequester, though. I think it could go either way.
No, you don't.
He followed me like way back.
I don't check from like when he followed me. So
It was like the end of Big Brother Canada last year. So.
Yeah, you can't follow like as soon as you get taken away, like you get taken away. Like you can't. There, no one has access to his Twitter, so that would have been him.
Right, yeah, right.
I feel like I don't know how big of a fan he is of RHAP though, and even if he was, I feel like he's way too careful in the house to talk about any of that.
This isn't the season where you like do faux podcasts.
Yeah, I've got a feeling that Mitch and Joel won't be recreating Survivor Know It Alls in the kitchen anytime soon.
No Nature Box promos in our future.
Good times.
All right.
Good times.
That was honestly, for the record, that was probably one of my favorite moments of my entire season. As stupid as it was great. When Kevin and I had just such an amazing moment when that happened. But with that, guys, we should wrap this thing up. Thank you to everybody for joining us this evening. It's been a pleasure talking to you on this bonus edition of the Reality TV or Happy Hour. Don't forget to join us live Sunday after the episode on the East Coast. So that'll be at 8:15 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:15 Pacific, where Brent Wolgamott and I will be talking to Spencer Clausen and McRae Olson from Big Brother 15 and On the Block, and we'll be breaking down Joel's HOH, his nominations, and all sorts of good stuff from the live feeds. Before we get out of here, any final thoughts, Taryn?
No. Caught me off guard.
Caught Taryn off guard. Alex, am I catching you off guard? Any final thoughts?
I'm excited to see where this week goes. Let's see like what Joel's going to do. You know, obviously he's going to have to emerge from the shadows a little bit here and drop the facade of like the bumbling, you know, I don't know what I'm doing, hapless, skinny guy. So it'll be interesting to see where it goes.
And Brent, you're going to be on with Rob tomorrow. So do you want to let people know when they can tune into that?
I don't know when it's on. Sorry, I really don't know. Isn't it 7 p.m.? Is that it? 7?
No, he's got an amazing race at 8.
So okay.
He usually does it at 6.
Okay. Yeah. So, I gotta look. I mean, I always get notified, so yeah, I'm not sure, but yeah, thank you. I'll be on tomorrow.
Brent will be on tomorrow, and I believe, I don't know if this has been announced yet, but screw it, I'm gonna announce it anyway. Brent will be on with Rob and Mike Bloom from Reality TV Wrap-Ups and Post-Show Recaps, so that should be a really fun show. Make sure you check that out. Okay, don't forget as well, guys, subscribe to the Happy Hour. Two ways you can do that. You can go on YouTube, so subscribe to Reality TV Wrap-Ups. That way you can see the video version of this if you did not see the audio, or if you wanted to see that while listening to, after listening to the audio. So go to Reality TV Wrap-Ups on YouTube, and you can subscribe to the Happy Hour on iTunes. Go to robiswebsite.com/happyhour. That's happy hour with an R at the front. Or subscribe to Reality TV Wrap-Ups. You get my show, The Bachelor Wrap-Up, The Top Chef Podcast, The Challenge Podcast, all that kind of stuff. Although, really, right now, it's mainly just BB Can 4. So either or, you'll get this podcast that way, robiswebsite.com/wrap-ups. Okay, guys, hashtag for this episode. I saw one in the chat from Miranda Johnson, and it was hashtag dumb batch. I thought that was pretty good. You guys are down?
That's great.
That's great.
Okay, yeah. So we're going to go with hashtag dumb batch. So tweet us after you finish listening to this. Let us know what you thought of the latest episode and the podcast. And random thoughts in general. Follow me on Twitter. I'm at Jordan Parhar. Taryn is at Armstrong Taryn. Alex is at Alex Kidwell, and Brent is at One Lucky Gay. Okay, guys, for Brent Walgamont, Taryn Armstrong, and Alex Kidwell, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag dumb batch. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out. Reality TV, we're happy hour.